A look inside Everbank Field. The Jaguars are getting ready for week 13 in the National Football League. They'll be on the road this week, though. They'll face the AFC South division rival Tennessee Titans. And welcome to Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with John Osier. Plenty to get to today. The first day in to the next week. The Jaguars are out on the practice field right now with a walkthrough to start work for those Tennessee Titans. Here we go again. The Titans. Yeah, second time the Jags have played the division rival this year. We'll hear from Blake Bortles, his weekly press conference. We'll carry that live right here. And Julius Thomas, huge game last week against San Diego. We'll hear from the Jags tight end here on set coming up. Now this team, John, trying to rebound as we look at the AFC South standings. You know, the two teams at the top of the division have tough road games this week. Indy is at Pittsburgh. The Texans are in Buffalo. The Jags, of course, are in Tennessee. It's a couple of games difference now. You're not really looking at that if you're the Jaguars right now. You want to keep – Yeah.
I'm locking up the playoff talk.
You're not saying –
locking
not,
it down.
Okay.
No, and it's – I get it. You're two games out, and there's still an outside shot at this. You're 4-7. You're 4-7 in 96. If you go on a five-game winning streak, you get in. I do believe they would get in if they go on a five-game winning streak. It would play out. But this team hasn't shown that it's going to do that. I don't think it's a team that's going to win five in a row. I've been saying for about five or six weeks, the experience on offense, the red zone deficiencies, and that thing that you need to close out games – you combine that with the pass rush, which is the thing on defense you need to close out games. Yep. It's not there to make me think they're going to win five in a row. But we are entering this last quarter of the season. And after this week, it'll be official. But it feels like you're into that last phase. So I think this week is a big game, because if you win this, then you've won 4 of 6. You know, you've won 3 of 4, 4 of 6. And all of a sudden, if you win this, then winning doesn't feel strange anymore around here. Mm-hmm. And I think that can matter a great deal. Last four games, schedule plays there, you can win some of those. But you're starting to get the idea. Like when they lost to San Diego, it was a little maddening, a little frustrating, because I think people expected them to win. You're starting to get the expectation this team can win. It's not going to do it consistently. It's not going to win five in a row. But you're getting the idea that winning isn't unusual to these guys. They need to keep that up and keep that feeling going. And to me, that's what the end of this season is about. I'm not saying playoffs can't happen.
Yeah, sure.
But the theme to me is get used to winning. Start winning in ways that are going to sustain and maintain. And then maybe you're looking at a 7-6 victory type season, which would be a positive step in the right direction, even if you don't make the playoffs.
A lot of offensive.
That's my little theme for today. How about that, JP?
That's a good way to set the course for the rest of this week for you. So watch for John Osier. Not talking about playoffs at all the next week here. Plenty to talk about the offense, though. Red zone, we'll get to that coming up. But the balance of the offensive play calling will be a topic today. Greg Olsen will speak to the media a little bit later. They had 13 called running plays last week. 49 passes and a few more where Blake ran around out of the pocket. So how do you balance that out?
Well, I guess I'm not as full-on concerned about the balance as a lot of people. I sort of get what they're talking about when on Sunday they were doing what was working. And they had 420 yards offense, 400. It was over 400. So it wasn't tragic between the 20s. Now, I think they could have stayed more consistent after the second quarter of that game. But if you watch that game, which I did yesterday, first quarter and second quarter, it was easy to see why they gave up on the run, because the interior of the line was not blocking very well. Mm-hmm. I didn't think the tight ends were blocking very well. And it really stagnated the offense. They had some situations where you're 2nd and 7, and they turned into 3rd and 9. Well, when you're in a tight game, which they were, there can be a hesitancy to use that if it's not working. They feel like they needed to get a lead. All of that said, 11 red zone snaps and 11 passes. That balance to me is a little more concerning than the overall balance. Mm-hmm. But having said all that, which is all, I do think you need to stick with TJ Yeldon more, whether it's in the passing game, it's in the running game. Get the ball in his hands a little more. They got away from it a little much. Mm-hmm. I think if they had it to do over again, even down 12 coming out of the second half, I think they would have done that more. How do you do it? You commit to it. You just do it. I mean, I don't think there's any great mystery. You just say, okay, even if it's second and eight, we're not going to get away from the pass. Mm-hmm. We're maybe going to run on first down a little more. If that's what you want to do, you commit to it. It's no great secret.
And you mentioned the red zone where they didn't throw or they didn't run, yelled it in the red zone last week, and it's been a theme all year. The red zone offense has struggled, and certainly the last 2 weeks, four possessions, one touchdown last week against San Diego, five possessions, one touchdown, and that one score against Tennessee came after the punt return, the long punt return, mm-hmm. that set him up real close.
Where the pass worked.
The catch. So where the pass worked in that situation. But the red zone issue is still there.
Yeah, and I think they, you know, it's hard to get inside people's head when they're calling plays because you're never going to get into that mode of right when they're making the play call. But I get the idea they would have run last week. They got in some weird situations in the red zone.
Sure.
Their red zone, it felt like every time they're in the red zone, they were on the 12 or the 11 or the 13. So they never really got into that situation where it was obvious they were going to try to run it in. So let's get TJ Yeldon in the game. Let's make sure you hand him the ball, Blake. It sounds like they had at least two, maybe three situations where it was run-pass option, and they went, and Blake felt more comfortable with the pass at that point, so he went to it. He said afterward, or made inclination sitting right here, that maybe would have done a little different if he'd seen that they were dropping eight a little more. That played into it. Again, hard to break down every play in the red zone like that and absolutely figure out what they should have done. But overall, they have to call better plays in the red zone. That's always part of it. Have to execute better. And I think getting back to the fade, not something he is throwing well. At some point, I think with Allen Robinson and Julius Thomas, that play has to be able to work because other things can come off of it. So, you know, I guess I don't know what they need to do. I don't need to score, JP. Got to score some touchdowns.
Well,
at some point.
It sounds like you know what they need to do.
Well, and
score.
So much of it, and people get tired of talking about experience mm-hmm. because they've seen these guys play, and fans are so into this team that they look at Blake Bortles, and they've seen him play a lot. So they think this guy has played enough to be good at this. Well, he hasn't played enough to be great in the red zone yet. That takes a little more time than this. He hasn't seen everything he needs to see yet. I believe that will get better next year. Mm-hmm. I believe that will get better with time. But it's an experience thing. And he's also still throwing to young guys, guys who are new to him, and mm-hmm. Julius Thomas. It can take time. So do they need to play better there? Yes. Is it going to happen immediately? No. And it's going to be the Achilles heel until they sort of experience their way through this.
Jaguars.com Live presented by Everbank. We're awaiting the press conference of Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles, and then Julius Thomas will join us live on set as well. He'll answer some of your social media questions a little bit later.
Because guess what? They're not going to be in the red zone, JP.
What's that, John?
I don't think you're going to turn this team into a start at the 12-yard line and will and power your way in. They're not that kind of running game yet.
Yes.
Very few teams are. It takes a lot to get to. So I don't think you're that, but you at least have to have the threat of the run down there, and that's what they didn't have last week.
Okay, big picture for this offense. We start with a quarterback. This is a season that, guess what, there's going to be a lot of Jaguars from this offense in the team record books at mm-hmm. the end of this season. At least Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles is on pace to set some records, just over 1,400 yards away from equaling Brunell's 96 single-season yardage record and a touchdown away from tying Garrard for the single-season record, which is only 23, by
right.
the way, which is very low. But in the grand scheme of things, it's a season offensively that hasn't been seen around here in a long time.
Right, and that's what you don't want to lose sight of. You know, the long spiel I went into about red zone offense and experience needing to get better, there's no question that is hurt and that the mistakes Blake mm-hmm. has made is hurt. I think he'd be the first to say that. He has said it. But as you said, in the grand scheme of things, this is a guy who has completely reversed his touchdown interception ratio.
That's right.
He is helping to turn this offense into an offense where you are not surprised anymore when they get the so-called chunk plays. You're not surprised when Allen Robinson pulls down a 35-yard gain and all of a sudden they go from the 40 to the 30 and the field position is different. You go, whoa, they're going to score here. Julius Thomas is turning into that. So as much as we nitpick and pick apart what has gone wrong, it is important to realize what was here last year is here this year. Now the step has to be taken to get to that next point. But in terms of growth, in terms of these young guys, I don't know how you can look at this bunch and not think that I hate to use the phrase arrow up because people are tired of hearing that, but to not think that you've got a core, that you can now have this core and start figuring out, okay, here's what we have. Here are the fewer things we need that we needed last off season, the off season before that. That's where they wanted to be after this season.
A lot of the weapons to are getting close to some milestones, at least in Jaguar milestones as well. Start with Allen Robinson, just a few yards away from 1,000. The last Jaguars receiver over 1,000, of course. Everybody should know by now, Jimmy Smith, 2005. Allen Hurns is the question mark, though, of course, with what happened last week. Left the field on a stretcher, went to a local hospital. A couple hours after the game, was released from the hospital and reports today that he will not practice on Wednesday here for the Jaguars. So that's the question mark moving forward for Hurns. And if Hurns is unable to go, then all of a sudden Marquise Lee has a little bit more of a spotlight this week.
Well, I hope so. And you know, I don't know what they'll do in that situation. First of all, I'd be surprised if Hurns plays. I'm not going to rule him out because it's not my job to rule him out. Mm-hmm. But just the way he left the field with concussions, point they are in the season, I'd be surprised if he plays. Maybe Brian Walters sees time there. I just look at Marquise Lee. He's been back for 3 weeks, hasn't been very involved in the offense. There's clearly more of a trust in game planning with Blake Bortles and the other things that were working when Marquise wasn't playing.
That's right.
Well, he's healthy now. He's ready to go. He's chomping at the bit. I think at some point you need to put him out there and have him running routes 15 yards downfield rather than catching screens. So while it made sense to be approaching it that way the last 2 or 3 weeks, now that Hurns is out, I'd be surprised, and I would love to see a full game of what Marquise can do with those kind of reps, provided Allen Hurns isn't playing. Because as Marquise said on Monday, you know, it's easy to mentally paint a picture of this kid being frustrated. Mm-hmm. I think he's frustrated on the inside. He wants to play. But he's not a guy who's sitting there going, boy, I can't figure out why I'm not playing.
He said,
hey, I get it.
Yeah, sure.
You know, Hurns has earned that. Robinson has earned that. And I wasn't available. So he understands the situation. So if Hurns is playing, he should have the role he's playing. But if Hurns isn't playing, let's see Marquise Lee out there and let's see what he can do. And if he can't do it, then you figure out something else moving forward. But let's figure out if he can do this.
In an injury-riddled season for Marquise, 5 catches, 51 yards, 3 rushes for 25 yards.
And 2 targets the last couple of weeks,
That's
JP,
right.
Which, again, I think that is what – I would be surprised if that doesn't change this week.
Jaguars.com Live presented by EverBank. We're awaiting the press conference of Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles every Wednesday right here on Jaguars.com Live. We carry that. And then Julius Thomas – what could be his red zone weapon will join us here on set. Let's flip it over now.
And big day for Julius Thomas, by the way, to get to come in and talk to you. I mean, he's got to be chomping at the bit about that. Speaking of chomping at the bit, right?
Almost like a career thing
and
for him. I know he's been to Pro Bowls and everything.
Yeah,
you know,
played with Peyton, all that stuff. But big, big deal for him to play as well as he did the other
day.
Sure
it was.
Because what it looks like is that slowly he's doing this. And the confidence level and the things that you want to see from a big tight end, he was doing the other day. Mm-hmm. I particularly think of the 3rd and 6 that he converted with an 11-yard reception where he basically overpowered the cornerback. Well, that's stuff you can count on. And this offense, as it goes forward, needs more and more things that when Olsen's sitting there game planning, he knows will work. That Bortles, when he goes to the line, he knows will work. Well, now all of a sudden, if Julius Thomas – one-on-one with a corner is a throw that Blake can make with confidence. That's one more thing they believe in. Over time, it's one more thing defenses have to account for.
Yeah.
So that gives you more and more weapons that become staples in your offense. Last year they had none. Now all of a sudden they've got Hurns, Robinson, maybe Julius, maybe TJ. If you start to get that kind of number, you become a very tough team to game plan against.
Let's flip it over now. Speaking of tight ends, the Jaguars' defense have had their struggles covering tight ends really the last couple of years, but certainly this season, and especially since the bye week. If you look at the numbers, the Jets' tight end had 1 long catch in that game, but then the Ravens had 3 tight ends come out with big games. Of course, Walker with the Titans had 8 for 109. Gates last week scored twice. Guess what? You get Delanie Walker again this week, a guy who put up big numbers 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, he put up big numbers, but I didn't get the feeling in that game from watching it. There's been times with this bunch covering the tight end since Gus Bradley got here, that you felt like the other tight end was taking over the game. I mean,
sure. Yeah.
The other day, Antonio Gates felt like that was – I didn't feel like a Delanie Walker was taking over the game against that. He had some big plays early, but then I thought overall Stiprian did a good job covering him. So that's got to continue, but it feels like they're doing a little better job against the tight end. I don't think this thing goes away until they get the free safety that they want to have in there, which I think happens next year. At some point, the free safety has to be the guy who can come over and be really good in coverage against the really mobile tight end. I don't know that that's ever going to be Jonathan Cyprian's strength. I think he has a lot of other strengths. Mm-hmm. He's turned into a good player and a good tackler. But I don't know that you want him being the guy who absolutely always takes out the opponent's really good receiving threat. It's a big ask.
Yeah, it's a work in progress for this Jaguars secondary. And we talked about this at the poolside yesterday about – hey, is it the secondary's job now? Because the pass rush, at least so far, has not proven that they can get home on a regular basis. So, guess what? The back end has to figure it out somehow, right?
Yeah, and
it's tough to do that alone.
Yeah, I'm never one that thinks the secondary is going to play lights out if the pass rush isn't getting home. I just think in this league right now, the way the rules are bent toward making the pass offense work, when you're playing good quarterbacks especially, if you're not getting home, you're in trouble on the back end.
Let's go down the hallway. We'll hear from Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles on a Wednesday.
What?
I think you just crossed the line. Oh, wait. Too soon? Too soon?
No, I don't care.
Okay.
That's pretty good. That's good. That's a good way to start.
Facing a team twice in 3 weeks, advantages, disadvantages?
Yeah. You know, I remember thinking about last year, something that it's different. You don't do it in college. You don't play anybody more than once in a season. So to have that opportunity in the NFL to play, you know, divisional games twice, I think it's an advantage. You know, I think you get to know not only schemes and, you know, what they do defensively, but personnel. You know, you get to look at guys twice and kind of, you know, really, I think, get a good look of, you know, what they do well and what they struggle with.
So it makes it a little bit easier when you roll in on Monday or Tuesday?
I think, you know, we talked about it this morning. You have a bit of a head start, but, you know, in no means does that mean you don't have to prepare the same way as the first week. You know, you got to prepare just as hard, if not harder, you know, as every other week.
So Mariota being rookie, it'd be help for him too.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure it's, you know, it's an opportunity for him. I don't know if this is their first, second divisional game against, you know, an opponent or not, but yeah, I think, you know, as a rookie, it's definitely something that you're not used to. And I think, you know, it is a bit of an advantage.
And you remember from last year, the difference even last year.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think anytime you get a chance to, obviously, because you play a game, then you watch it and grade yourself and make corrections, and then you move on. So you do that, and then, you know, you get to play them again. So you go back, you review that game again for the second time, you know, kind of, I think, touch up again on the mistakes that were made, on things, you know, you wanted to get done that you didn't or whatever, and now you have a second opportunity to do that stuff.
Said you go rush three a bunch of times in the red zone the other day. How difficult was that to find a window for
him? Right. Yeah. You know, it's tough, but I mean, there were guys open. You know, I missed Julius for one down the middle. And then two other times I just ran past the line of scrimmage and threw the ball. So I think, I mean, we just got to make more plays. You know, there were things there. There were plays to be made. I think on two of those scrambles, you know, for sure one of them, I think I could have run and possibly scored. But, you know, I think we got to continue to pay attention to the details and execute.
The first penalty, you feel you had the shot for the end zone?
Yeah, I think so. I think on the first one I could have got to the corner and dove for the pylon or something. So, you know, super unfortunate, bad, kind of boneheaded plays, but definitely things to learn from.
Because of the red zone struggles, how do you not get down there and start pressing?
Right. You know, I think to kind of just trust in it. You know, we go through red zone periods all week and kind of carry that over into the game. And execute, you know, on the same level, not get freaked out, not get down there and say, you know, we're in the red zone again. We haven't scored in the red zone in however long, and try to press and do things, you know, outside of yourself and the system. I think to stay within it and go through as a quarterback the reads and have receivers run, you know, their routes, you know, the way they've done all week.
You know, Marquise has to go for Allen this weekend. Do you feel like he's ready to carry a much bigger load for this offense because he hasn't been targeted all that much.
Yeah, I really do. I think, he's been wanting that. I think he's been looking forward to this opportunity for a long time. So I'm excited for him. You know, I think there's other guys too, like Rashad and Brian, and Julius as well, who are also, you know, going to carry a little bit more of the load with Allen being out. So those guys are excited. They're, I know Marquise is excited for this opportunity, obviously, because, you know, he's going to get a chance to get some more reps and some more targets and stuff like that.
Deep down, do you expect Burns not to be there sometime?
It's hard, you know, knowing a guy like that and as tough as he is, but, they'll go through whatever protocols they have to, and, you know, they'll make the best decision for Allen.
Did you see Roethlisberger took himself out of the game? How did he feel he did that?
Yeah, I don't know. Did he take himself out or did
the guy get it? Well, he reported the symptoms and he said, okay, you're out.
Yeah, I don't know. That's tough. Obviously, you know, he's a tough guy and has proven that for a lot of years, so.
You're on the setting some passing records here in your second season. I know you probably don't look at that, but is that a sign of your development, your progression that you're able to be at that point?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a – you know, anytime you're able to kind of sit down and put numbers on a piece of paper and compare them side by side and there is progress and there is, you know, things getting better, I think that's a good sign. You know, obviously, I trade those numbers in for wins any day of the week as, you know, I think anybody else would. But I think that is a good sign that, you know, we are getting better as an offense. We're headed in the right direction. And I really do believe that, you know, we're a small step away from being consistently good week in and week out.
Do you notice a difference in Marquise mentally this year as opposed to maybe last year?
Yeah, I think it's kind of a whole group thing, right? Because we all came in together, me, him, Allen, and Allen. And you know, you see, obviously, both Allens, you know, getting the reps and gaining the confidence and doing that stuff. And you see, kind of from my point of view, Marquise struggling. You know, obviously, he's had injuries and stuff like that. But he's had an unbelievable attitude about it. You know, he's been supportive of those guys while he hasn't been able to play. And as soon as he was healthy and ready to play, you know, it wasn't, you know, why am I not getting the opportunity? You know, he understood what was going on and was kind of chomping at the bit to get in and do whatever he could to contribute. And, I think he has a great opportunity this week to do that.
When you have a run-pass option at the line, is that a check with me? Or is it a run that you can change into a pass? How does that
Yeah, no, it'll be, it's all throughout the week in game planning that we'll have rules. So it'll be, you know, whether a run or a pass is called, we'll have rules to what we can do it against and what we need to get out of it versus.
If it's a wrong call, is it you usually switch out of it because you're outflanked? Or
Sometimes that, sometimes safety rotation, sometimes numbers. You know, sometimes you just don't have the numbers and, you know, you never want to just run a dead play.
How would you describe your relationship with Chad and how has he helped you grow as a quarterback?
Yeah, he's been unbelievable. I think he's probably been, he's definitely been one of the most important people in the past 2 years of my life. Kind of in the development and progress, I think, stage of things. He's an unbelievable guy. He's extremely smart. And, you know, he's a very good quarterback as well. So he's a good guy to learn from, a good guy to be around. And, a guy like that, you know, I'm able to see, you know, day in and day out and kind of witness him with his wife and kid as well. It's pretty special and good stuff to learn from him.
Allen Robinson could be the first Jags receiver over 1,000 in 10 years. And Hurdy's not far behind. He could be the first duo in 14 years. I know you can't focus on the numbers, but can you at least look at what's happening and see the genesis, the start of something big?
Yeah. Special? Yeah, and I think it all stems back to, us getting better. And, you know, I think, you know, we say it all the time and Gus preaches it, and I think it kind of becomes cliche. But, you know, when you look at the numbers, it's there. It's kind of concrete in the statistics. So, I think it's proof that, you know, things are headed in the right direction, are getting better. And, I mean, anytime you get two guys over 1,000 or anywhere near 1,000, that's a special season because it's not done often.
How much of what you guys are doing down the field, because you lead the league with 50 down the field, and I think Allen leads with 21 catches, how much of it is just unspoken confidence in the work that you've put in already, or how much of it is what you do week to week?
You know, I think it's a little bit of both. I think it's confidence with those guys. I think it's confidence in the fact that they're going to go up and make a play. They're not going to let a ball get intercepted. You know, worst case scenario, they're going to get a chance and they're going to bat it away. And they're going to try and make a big play. So I think it's a little bit of that. I think it's a little bit of the game planning and the calls. You know, Ole gives us a lot of opportunities to take shots, which as a quarterback I love. And I know, you know, everybody wants to make a big play. So I think those guys do a really good job of making plays down the field.
And the progress that you guys are making, does that encourage you to take more shots down the field? I mean, is it almost like, here we go, let's run faster?
Right. You know, I wouldn't say, we're not going to go outside of who we are and what we do to try and create those shots and stuff. But, I mean, within the system and within the play call, you know, those are definitely things that I have a lot of confidence in because of the confidence I have in those guys.
Are you excited about the Scott Frost hire?
Oh yeah, yeah. I think it's a great hire. You know, I'm excited to meet him, and obviously coming from Oregon, anything out of that system, you're definitely excited about.
You on search committee?
No.
I just want to follow up on that. How important was that program was 0-12? How important do you think was it an outside reset to get a young offensive guy?
Right. Yeah, I think it's awesome. I think it's a great move. I think, you know, what Coach O'Leary did there for over a decade was special. You know, I know I learned a ton playing for him and training staff in that system at UCF. And he did a lot of great things to build a solid foundation. And I think this is kind of the next step and you know, where that university needs to go, because I think, you know, it has a ton of potential.
I think it was all 11 plays in the red zone in the past the last week. Do you make a concerted effort to run, or do you just take what's there, or have you?
Right, you know, a little bit of both. I mean, there were some stuff that I got out of, and some run game answers and stuff like that. And then there was just some pass plays that, you know, I missed, you know. So I think, you know, we'll keep doing what we're doing and find ways, you know, to score touchdowns rather than field goals.
You think you've been pretty hard on yourself.
There you have it, the Wednesday comments of Jaguars quarterback Blake Bortles, and we're joined by one of his weapons, Julius Thomas. Good to see you. Thanks for coming on.
Oh, no problem. Thank you for having me.
Big day for you last week. 10 targets, tied a career high with 9 receptions, what, 116 yards, a touchdown. Finally starting to feel that momentum now, right? I mean, for you?
Oh, no. For me, it was definitely good, you know, to get a big game. You know, been going through a lot this season, and to be able to go out there and get the production that you work for, you know, you can put in the time, you know, all throughout the off season. You know, something unfortunate happens in preseason, you got to battle through that. But, you know, I'm just most excited about, you know, just me and Blake's chemistry growing, starting to understand each other more and more every day, and we're going to continue to keep building.
And that takes time, too, not to compare the two quarterbacks, but with Peyton, that takes a little time, too, right? And certainly with Blake, you guys worked together in the offseason some. The preseason and training camp was great, of course, the training camp at least before the injury. But even off the field for a while, to get back on the field, you have to get that back, and it just takes reps, right?
Yeah, that's what it takes. You know, timing and chemistry, you know, they seem simple, but, you know, that's what you have to go out and get those repetitions of. And, you know, me and Blake got a lot of reps in, you know, in OTAs, and then to not have me out there and not to see, you know, the way I run routes and get used to the timing of, you know, how I'm coming in and out of breaks, you know, that's what makes, you know, football so great. And that's why you have to have professionals playing, is, you know, getting the little intricate parts. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're definitely getting it. We're starting to understand each other more. And no matter who the quarterback is, it takes time. You know, me and P developed a good relationship, but that took a lot of time as well. So me and Blake are definitely in the right direction, and we're just going to keep on stacking those reps.
It helps that you have a catch radius like you do, right? You know, a young quarterback can just throw it out there and feel confident, right?
Well, you know, that's what I want to do. You know, being an older veteran guy on this team, I want to help our offense out as much as I can, and that's Blake included. I just, you know, I want to be in the right place for him, mm-hmm. Always give him a place to throw the football, and, you know, he'll continue to do what he's been doing this year, and you know, that's doing a great job of leading our offense.
Julius Thomas is with us, Jaguars tight end on Jaguars.com Live, presented by EverBank. We'll get to some social questions coming up. But a big topic this week is the Jaguars' red zone issues. I know you guys have heard about it. It's a topic inside the building, certainly outside the building. How do you get better in the red zone?
You know, that's probably one of the harder parts of football. You know, you look and you say, well, but the goal line's right there.
Right.
But, you know, as that field gets a lot smaller, it really changes everything from the coverages to the way the defenders are able to play. Everything gets a lot tighter. You have to be more precise in the red area, and that's just something that we have to grow and continue to develop as a team. You know, we've been doing a great job of getting down there, but we're going to have to do more to go ahead and come back with 6 points instead of 3. And it's just going to take effort on all of our parts. You know, a lot of times, you know, in a new offense, you know, you start seeing that, okay, how are we all understanding what we're doing and making mm-hmm. sure that we go out and execute that? And, you know, we'll see that improve.
That's your game, though, right? I mean, you want to be a red zone threat. That was part of the reason why you wanted to come. Hey, that's your kind of game, right? Scoring touchdowns.
Absolutely, man. You know, I can't lie to you and tell you that, you know, that's not my favorite part of football. To be able to go in that red area and find ways to have the football in the end zone is what I pride myself on. And it's what any offense that wants to be a great offense has to do well. So, you know, I'm going to continue to keep doing all the things that I can, you know, individually to improve in my game so that I'm able to create those opportunities. And I'm also going to, you know, work as hard as I can and push everybody around me. And everybody on offense has to have that same commitment so that we're able to start counting up more points down there.
Julius Thomas is with us. Let's talk about this week's game. The Tennessee Titans, you get them twice in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Is that a good thing, a bad thing in general? Have you had that? You've had that before, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, you know, I think especially for a young team like us, it's a good thing. You know, whenever you're playing an opponent again for the second time, you have a little familiarity there. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit fresher right now. So we understand that what they're trying to do as a defense. I'm sure the defensive guys have a good understanding of what they want to do offensively. But when you look at that second game of the season, it really comes down to making big plays. And, you know, both teams know each other, divisional opponents, second time in the season. Okay, who's going to come out and play more sound this time? Who's going to make the less mistakes? Mm-hmm. And that's really what it takes to beat a team twice in 1 year.
Let's go to social media. You're a Twitter. You have a Twitter. I know that. What is it?
Yeah. My Twitter handle is Julius_Thomas. Okay. You know, social media is, you know, it fluctuates in my life. But, you know, I've learned to appreciate and understand it for what it is.
Let's go to Instagram then and take some questions. This is from, I don't know how you say this, Mayad Bill. Do you think you can grab at least 8 touchdowns this season? Do you keep up with your stats, first of all?
I think you don't really have to keep up with your stats because everybody's going to remind you, you know.
Like us.
Somebody, yeah, you're always going to know where you're at just from listening and talking to people. But do I think I could grab 8 touchdowns this season? Absolutely. I think that, you know, I'm pretty sure with five games left, that's something that I can do. You know, it would be great. I don't know what will happen, but I can promise you I'll give it my all, and I'll do everything I can to find my way in that end zone.
A little more emphasis in the red zone. That could be the case. Tay Gaudino is asking, do you like the tone and leadership that Gus Bradley has given this team? What are your first thoughts being with Gus the first, 11 games of the season?
Absolutely. You know, I really appreciate and respect the way he runs this team. You know, I think he does it the right way. To tell grown men that, you know, you appreciate them, but you respect everything they do, and find a way to create excitement, but keep us focused and understanding what our core values are as a team. And every time we sit there and we talk about this is who we want to be, we want to be a team that plays passionate, that plays hard, and they play together. Mm-hmm. And when we're always focused on that message, that's why you see a team that's able to go out there and compete every single Sunday, Thursday, whatever it may be. And we'll continue to keep getting better as we learn to execute more and make less mistakes.
John Todd asking you, how do you like wearing the black, gold, and teal? Most notably, the gold last 2 weeks ago on Thursday night. What'd you think?
You know, it's really good for me. You know, listening to a lot of the women in my family, they're so excited. They're like, yes, I love these colors. They're so much better for my game wardrobe. But for myself, you know, I was always wanted to wear black cleats, you know, so now I get to wear black cleats. You know, I love that gold accent and even the gold primaries. That Thursday night game was unique, man. That was, it's pretty special to be able to go out there and wear those gold jerseys. I'm actually getting mine framed. I'm going to put it up on the wall.
Nice. So you said unique. So I guess you liked it. That's a good unique. Right?
Absolutely. Okay. I think, and you know, it kind of had some mixed reviews, but yeah. I'm a fan of the whole color splash Thursday night thing.
I guess they're doing that every game next year, right? From what I heard, every Thursday from the start of the season on. Right?
They should. I mean, it's great as a player to look at other teams, yeah. Man. I saw Dallas in the all white.
That's cool.
That was pretty crispy. You know, looking at Jets wearing the green. I like it, man.
And the red, who had the red? The Bills
Buffalo,
had the red,
Buffalo
right?
The red, yeah.
It was pretty cool. The red and the green together with the Jets was a little odd, but let's get to some more questions. Social media, B-More Duval 90. What were your first thoughts about Jacksonville and the fans right after you signed and now that you've seen them a few months in?
Well, you know, I didn't know much about Jacksonville at all. You know, I grew up on the West Coast. You know, this is my first time living on the East Coast, and you know, I figured, you know, it's Florida, it should be sunny, but that was pretty much the extent of it. But, you know, I've definitely come to enjoy Jacksonville. You know, I like the atmosphere and the people here. Everybody's real welcoming, real nice. You know, I love the food. I mean, I've been so spoiled with such great food here.
And like what? What kind of food?
You know, I really like, you know, kind of like the mom and pop plots, you know, going to the little restaurant, you know, family owned and enjoy it, you know, as a young single guy, you know, I've had my fair share of chain restaurants and stuff like that. Don't get me wrong. It's all good, but I really like that, you know, I can just pull into a shopping center somewhere and, you know, get that little mom and pop food, a little home cooking. But the fans, man, the fans have been great. You know, as a team, we really appreciate everything they do as far as committing to us. You know, it's every time that they come to something. Every time they come to a game, to a event, you know, we appreciate it because that's something that they chose to do. There's no one forcing you to do that. And anytime somebody takes the time out of their life to come watch us entertain and do what we do, it's special, and we're very appreciative of that.
A couple more questions. We'll get you out of here. The McLaughlin Group asking, what do you think of what's being built here? And how far off do you feel the Jags are from the next step? You know what the next step is getting to the postseason.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm very encouraged about what I've seen from this team this year. You know, being a new member to this team and really not understanding the culture and the environment, I'm very excited as to where this team is headed. You know, a lot of times people talk about how young of a team we are. And I think that, you know, you're starting to see guys grow up in front of us. You know, I'm out there watching guys, TJ, A-Rob, Hearns, Blake, and I'm saying, look, these guys, they're growing up, they're getting better, starting to understand this game more. And as far as that next step, I think we're right there. But what we have to do is we got to make less mistakes. You know, we have 8-9 minute stretches of a game where we kind of lose our focus a little bit. And, you know, that has come down to a lot of close games for us this season. When you look at how many games have been decided by a touchdown or less, you see a team that making the right choices, playing a little bit more clean throughout the game is going to get that next score or prevent that score that gave the team the go-ahead. And then you'll start seeing a team go from 4-7 where we're at to 7-4. So I think we're very close, and I'm very excited to be a part of it.
That's a good way to call it a day. How about get it done this week in Tennessee? Good luck to you. Appreciate it.
All right, man. Well, you know, we're going to continue to go out there and give it all we have, and I appreciate you for having me.
Julius Thomas, Jaguars tight end, joining us. Come see the Jaguars back home in a couple of weeks. The Indianapolis Colts will be here December 13th, a 1 o'clock kickoff. For tickets, visit jaguars.com/tickets or call 633-2000. Our thanks to John Osier, who was on with us a little earlier. You heard from Blake Bortles. Our thanks to Julius Thomas as well. For everyone involved, this is JP Shadrick. That's it for today on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.